Well, the last couple weeks we've been talking about what it means to be a peacemaker, and I'm just going to take a few minutes this morning to focus in on what I think is a great story of transformation. Many of us know the story of the Apostle Paul. He was a devout religious leader, a Jewish leader. He was part of the Pharisees. He meticulously kept the law. He was self-righteous, which was not a good thing. He was passionate about keeping all the Jewish laws and traditions, and we would probably say today that in that role, he was very legalistic in making sure that he did everything right. His Hebrew name was Saul, but there came a time in his life when he encountered Jesus on a road to Damascus, and his life completely changed. He met the risen Christ. He now had a new calling. He had a new mission. To make the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, known to all people, all ethnicities, all nationalities, and all languages. Now, before Saul met Christ, he was violently opposed to those who were following Jesus. In his own words in 1 Timothy, Paul called himself a persecutor and a violent man. Before he was shown grace and mercy, that characterized his life. Saul hated the Gentiles, those who were considered unclean, outside of the Jewish faith. But more than that, he came to hate the followers of Jesus. This is in the first century in Jerusalem and then spreading in the areas around, because these followers of Jesus began to share the good news that Jesus was the Messiah and that through faith in him we could have salvation and a new life. And so he began to persecute those who were called, who were part of the way. Later they became known as Christians. When Stephen, an early leader in the church in Jerusalem, was stoned, because of what the Jewish people considered his blasphemy in proclaiming that Christ was Lord, Saul was there watching that happen, holding the coats of those who were stoning Stephen. And he became a vicious persecutor of the early Christians. And there's just two short passages that I want to read from the book of Acts. And the first one is in Acts chapter 8, the first three verses, and then a couple later in chapter 9. So I'd invite you to take your Bibles and turn there with me, or your Bible apps, but Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And this comes at the end of the story of the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr in the church. It says, "And Saul was there, giving approval to his death." Now, it's hard for us to imagine what that must have been like, and it must have been a horrible thing to watch someone be stoned. But when you're standing there giving your approval, even though he didn't throw a stone, he was implicit in Stephen's death. "On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison." And then if you look over a chapter into the beginning of the story of Saul's conversion, chapter 9, verse 1. "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples." Doesn't sound like a peacemaker, does he? "He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus," which was in Syria, "so that he found, if he found any who belonged to the way," meaning the early church, the Christians, "whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what to do.' So the men traveling with Saul stood speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything." And the rest of that story is about a man named Ananias who came and prayed for Saul and laid his hands on him and told him, gave him, in a sense, a commissioning. And from that point on, Paul's life was radically transformed. And instead of going out and trying to persecute the followers of the way, trying to persecute early Christians, he became a champion for spreading the good news of Christ to the world all around him. And from that point on, he took his Greek name, Paul, and Saul became known as Paul. And he had changed from being an antagonist who hated Christians to one who promoted peace, talking about spiritual peace and people with God. He devoted his life to helping others, to bring others to find peace through faith in Jesus Christ. He had a new calling. When you get toward the end of his life, he appears before Jewish leaders like Felix and Festus and King Agrippa. And at the end of his life, he says, I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision, meaning that he was sharing the good news of Christ with the world around him. And in a very real way, he helped to transform the first century world as the Christian church began to spread, because he went to places and talked to people in Greece and in Italy and in Syria and in what's now modern-day Turkey. And God used his life to bring many, many people into the kingdom of God and establish many churches. And so in a sense, Paul was instrumental in changing the world in his day. But first, he had to be changed himself. He had to experience the peace of knowing Christ before he became a peacemaker. Now, there's lots of talk in our world today about being a peacemaker. That's different than being a pacifist, but we don't have time to get into that whole thing. But ultimately, you can't help people come to real peace that comes through a relationship with God through Christ unless you first have experienced that peace. And so if you look through the letters of the Apostle Paul, you see just a glimpse of some of the things that Paul wrote about peace, and you'll see those up on the screen. And I'm not going to go into explanation, but I think it's important for us to see these and to understand the transformation that had taken place in Paul's life that transformed him from being someone who was trying to arrest and persecute and murder Christians to one who was helping people come to peace with God through Christ. And so, like in Romans 5:1, Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, that means we've been made right with God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have peace through faith in Christ. And then he says to the further on down in Romans to the Christians there, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I love that because Paul is like totally realistic. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And then again in Romans 14, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. So we as followers of Jesus were to make every effort to do what leads to peace. The fruit of the Spirit, Paul says, is love, joy, and peace. It comes through the Holy Spirit. And then he talks about to the church in Ephesus, and he speaks to us today. He's speaking about Jesus, and he says, for he himself, Jesus, is our peace. And he's made the two groups one. This is talking about the Jews and all the rest of the ethnicities and the languages and the cultures, because the Jews were at odds with them, the Jews and the Gentiles. He has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. So Paul is beginning to recognize that Jesus not only breaks down any barrier that separates us from God, and that barrier is our own sinfulness, but he also breaks down the barriers that separate people and brings down the dividing wall of hostility. And a few verses later in Ephesians 2:17, talking about Jesus, Paul says, he came and he preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. So those who considered themselves on the inside and were already part of God's family, Paul's saying, you need the peace of God in your life. To those who felt like they were separated and they were far away from God, Paul is saying, you can have peace through faith in Christ. And then I love Ephesians 4:3, says, make every effort to keep the unity of spirit through the bond of peace. So that tells us something about if we're to be a peacemaker in our world, in our community, in our church, in our families, it takes effort. We have to do as much as is possible within us. We have to make that effort to keep the unity of spirit through a bond of peace. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." We need to let the peace of Christ govern our hearts. And that means it affects our attitudes, our words, our way of thinking, how we treat other people. And then lastly, in 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul's giving advice to his young protege, Timothy, and he says, "Flee the evil desires of youth, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." We're to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Over and over again, if you read Paul's letters in the New Testament, his greetings to the churches and to the followers of Jesus Christ was this: "Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace to you. What if we took that seriously in our own lives? That God wants us to live in His grace and express His grace to others, and He wants us to live in His peace. So the question we could ask ourselves is why, and there's more verses in the New Testament letters of Paul about peace, but why did Paul put so much emphasis on peace in his writings? Well, I think there's three things. I think he knew that the only way to experience true peace is to have the and have peace with God. The only way to experience that is by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. So we have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul knew that, and so he emphasized that all through his teaching. The second thing is, he said the only way for us to really have inner peace is through the forgiveness that comes through faith in Christ. When we receive Christ in us through His Spirit, we have peace. We experience inner peace. God always wants us to live out our faith. And so Paul put emphasis on peace in his writings because he knew that the only way to live in peace with others is to have the peace of Christ ruling and guiding our hearts. Now, you could ask yourself the question and say, well, did Paul practice what he preached? And it always comes down to that in our life. We can go out and tell people how they ought to live and what they ought to be doing and how what their attitude should be. The question is, are we living that? And so the question we could fairly ask with all the stuff Paul writes about peace and the way that we're at peace with God and the way that we're to be at peace with others, did he practice what he preached? And there's several instances where he does that. In the Council of Jerusalem, the early church was trying to figure out, you know, do we make all these other people that are not Jewish, do we make them become Jewish and follow our customs and be circumcised and all of that? And there was a lot of debate back and forth. And the Apostle Paul, remember, this is the guy who was persecuting Gentiles and persecuting those who were outside of the traditional Jewish faith. He advocated for the equal inclusion of Gentiles, the non-Jewish believers in the early church. And he basically was saying, we should not put any unnecessary burdens on them because we are part of the body of Christ. At the church of Ephesus, and Ephesus was a really important cultural center in what is now modern-day Turkey. And it was where Paul started a church, and for 3 years in the whole surrounding area, he was instrumental in many, many people becoming followers of Christ. And at Ephesus, Paul emphatically taught that the barriers that had been separating people had been torn down in Christ, and that was how the church should be defined, and that should define how we treat others. So Paul, in his practice in relating to the church in Ephesus, was putting into practice this truth that we must be at peace with God and we must be peacemakers with others. If you've read the book of Acts and you know the story of Paul's first missionary journey, you know that he and Barnabas paired up as a team, and they went and traveled extensively for a couple of years. And with them was Barnabas's nephew named John Mark, otherwise referred to in Scripture just as Mark. And in the middle of that trip, John Mark left and went back home. fast forward a little bit, and that first trip is gone, and sometime later, Paul and Barnabas are getting ready to go on a second trip, and Barnabas says, hey, I want to bring my nephew John Mark with me. And Paul is saying, no, he bailed out on us the last time. We're not taking him with us. And they separated and went their separate ways. Paul went with Silas, and Barnabas took John Mark with him. And so when you initially read that, you think, wow, that they didn't work that out very well. They both went their separate ways and continued in ministry. But what you find out when you read through the others of Paul's writing, first of all, there's later that Paul and Barnabas are still in ministry, even though they're in different locations and different teams. And Paul refers to Barnabas as one of his co-workers in Christ. And more specifically, there are several instances where we find that Paul and John Mark, you know, Paul said, I'm not having this kid on our team because he made a mess of things and he bailed out. Paul and John Mark reconciled. And later, Paul would include him in his ministry. In fact, in his writing to Timothy, he says, get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. And we see that this person, John Mark, who had like separated from Paul and Barnabas, and there seemed to be this division and this rift, Paul practices what he preaches, and he reaches out to John Mark, and together they're in ministry again. One of the best examples, I think, is that there's a short little letter, just one chapter, to a man by the name of Philemon. Philemon was a leader in the church in Colossae, which was near Ephesus. He had come to know Christ through Paul's preaching in Ephesus. He was a wealthy man in those days, and in that geographic location, many wealthy people, including Christians at the time, had slaves, Philemon had a slave named Onesimus. Onesimus split. He ran away, but because he knew Paul, he eventually went to where Paul was, and I believe at the time Paul was in Rome when he was writing this, and he was under house arrest as a prisoner to the Romans. And Onesimus had gone to be his companion and to minister to him. And so Paul writes this letter, sends this letter back to Philemon, and he advocates for this runaway slave, and he's saying, he's asking Philemon to take him back. And this is what he says. He asks Philemon to take him back no longer as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. I think what an incredible picture that is. Not just from the social aspect of no longer being a slave, but being a brother in Christ, but the fact that really for all of us, there is that kind of spiritual transformation where we're no longer a slave to ourself or to our sinfulness or to our sinful nature. We become brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, because of what Jesus has done for us. Paul spent his whole life sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, doing everything that he could so that others would be reconciled to God and would have peace through Jesus Christ. He never gave up on his calling to share the good news. And this is what he wrote about Jesus. Talking about Jesus, he says, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. And Paul says, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. And so I think it's important for us as we think about being peacemakers, it's not just going out there and trying to calm down a strained relationship. The real heart of being a peacemaker is helping other people come to know Jesus Christ through faith and being reconciled with him so that they have peace with God. And then it's doing all that we can within the community of believers, within the world in which we live, to help people come to faith in Christ and to have peace and to be at peace with one another. And that part of the peacemaking process, I think, for us who are in the church, for us who are believers, it's ongoing. Peacemaking process is ongoing in your family. We do all that we can to bring people to peace with God, to bring people to peace with one another. But at the heart of it all, you know, we've talked about, you know, Saul and Jonathan. We've talked about Esau and Jacob and how conflict was resolved and how we can bring people back together. And peacemaking certainly does have a role in terms of our relationships. But at the real heart of the matter of being a peacemaker, it's helping other people come to peace with God and have inner peace through forgiveness and because of faith in Jesus Christ. And so we are peacemakers. when by the grace of God, we help lead others to peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, there's a lot of other things that we need to be doing to keep peace and keep unity in the body of Christ, to bring peace into strained relationships. But at the heart of it all, being a peacemaker, being like Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, through the grace of God, we help lead others to peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together as we close. Lord, it's been good to be together as your people here in your house. It's good that we can be together connected through the benefits of modern technology. And for all of us here and all of us in our homes and all of us tuned in and listening, we thank you that through your gift, Jesus, of your life, we can be reconciled to our Father through faith in you. We have peace. May your peace that passes understanding keep our hearts and minds as we trust in you and as we walk with you. May we be instrumental in leading other people to faith. May they come to know you in your fullness through what you did, Jesus, on the cross. Thank you that you came into this world to bring peace, to reconcile us. May we truly be peacemakers by looking for every opportunity we have to help others come to peace with you through faith in Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.